here, take your Bible again and turn back to the book of Judges, would you please? And I've been preaching about being found faithful, being found, discovered, looked upon, searched out as to be faithful. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2 says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." The greatest requirement of a steward in the eyes of God is that requirement of faithfulness. Regardless of talent level, everyone can be found faithful. Regardless of the assignment or stewardship given, everyone can be found faithful. But even some of the most faithful have drifted from their faithfulness. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 16 says this, "For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again." So when the faithful have become unfaithful, what needed to happen? They needed to simply return to faithfulness. This morning I want to speak along the lines of return to faithfulness. Return to faithfulness. Let's pause for a moment of prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the opportunity that we have to share your word. Thank you for, again, the child's being here and for that song that reminds us of the whole purpose of the gospel is that people would be saved from a burning eternal hell. And Lord, this morning as we'll continue talking along the lines of faithfulness, Lord, may there be some this morning who will be touched to return to a point of faithfulness once again in their Christian walk. I pray that you'd bless, that you'd challenge us, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Return to faithfulness. As we consider return to faithfulness this morning, I want to look at, and I'm going to move rather rapidly this morning, if you can believe that, say amen. And try to end quickly, if you can believe that one, say amen. Thank you. Where'd that come from, Brother Stan? All right. But as we consider returning to faithfulness, I want to look at three personalities in Scripture who, and there could be others we could look at, but I want to look at three personalities distinctly in Scripture who needed to return to faithfulness. One is Samson. Samson is the personality that we read about in our Scripture this morning, and he's the main focus, but he needed to return to faithfulness. We're going to look momentarily at a fellow by the name of John Mark. John Mark was Barnabas' nephew who went on the first missionary outing with Barnabas and Paul. We're going to look at him. He needed to return to faithfulness. And then we're going to look just momentarily in our message this morning as well at the Apostle Peter. Peter was the outspoken apostle who was a great spokesman for Christ. But there came a point in Peter's life that he needed to return to faithfulness. So let's consider Samson this morning first. And we read the scripture about Samson. And every child knows the story about the mighty Samson. I think anybody that grew up in Sunday school learned about Samson. And usually there was a picture of me there with Samson. That makes it more credible, right? No. But anyway, Samson was a great man in the Bible. And the first thing I want to point out about Samson is that he was counted faithful. Samson was counted faithful. What great power God entrusted to Samson. If you notice in Judges chapter number 15, and if you're there in Judges, but look at Judges chapter 15 and verse 3 for a moment with me. It says, and Samson, we're going to look at some of the power displayed by Samson. Judges 15 verse 3. And Samson said concerning them, now shall I be more blameless than the Philistines, though I do them a displeasure. And Samson went and caught 300 foxes and took firebrands and turned tail to tail and put a firebrand in the midst between two tails. And when he had set the brands on fire, he let them go into the standing corn of the Philistines and burn up both the shocks and also the standing corn with the vineyards and olives. That's quite a feat, isn't it? You ever catch one fox? Just catch one. And then grab his tail, would you? And catch another, grab his tail, tie their tails together. And then do that with 300 foxes. God used Samson in a mighty, mighty way. In Judges 15 and verse 15, would you notice that, please? It says, and he found a new jawbone of an ass and put forth his hand and took it and slew 1,000 men therewith. And Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of an ass have I slain 1,000 men. What might was given to Samson from the Lord, where he took the jawbone, the bone of a donkey, and he slew 1,000 men therewith. There's never been another man who physically demonstrated the power of God like Samson, who physically demonstrated the power of God. He was counted faithful. God uses human vessels as he chooses and as he sees fit in order to demonstrate his power to men. And he uses it in different ways, but with Samson, who was a Nazarite that set him aside as peculiar to the rest of the people in that he wasn't to cut his hair as a Nazarite, not a Nazarene, a Nazarite. And he wasn't to cut his hair, and it was a peculiar vow that they had upon him. Samson had that, and God used him in that in a mighty, miraculous way. Let me just say this. We don't have to have physical might to be used of God. God could give it to us. But God can give us his power, each one of us, to use us as he wants to use us within the context of our setting, where we are, and in the case of a missionary, where he sends us. God's call is God's enabling. And he called Samson to be judge, and he judged Israel for 20 years. 20 years. And let me just read this to you, what it says about him in Hebrews. In Hebrews 11:32, it says, what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson, and of Jephthah, and of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Now listen to this. Out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Samson wasn't a man that people looked at and said, man, I bet he's powerful. I don't think he looked like a bodybuilder. But he had long hair, and connected with that, God gave him his power. And Samson was counted faithful. We all want to be that. Well, we're faithful to do what God wants us to do. But the second thing I want you to notice about Samson is that he became unfaithful. He was counted faithful, but he became unfaithful. We know the passage of Scripture, but let's just read it. I'll read it quickly. If you're there in Judges chapter 16 now, Judges chapter 16, let me just read through it quickly here. And we'll start with verse 5. And the lords of the Philistines came unto her, and said unto her, Delilah that is, entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth. If it were his biceps, they would have known that, wouldn't they? They said, entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him. And we'll give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. Satan always will pay to destroy God's people. Verse 6, and Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. Sound effects mine. And Samson said unto her, if they bind me with seven green withes, or vines, green vines. And you know, when I prepared the field for my horse, for pasture for my horse, we had raspberry bushes in there, and they had grown grapes there before that. And let me tell you what, those vines from those raspberry bushes in the ground, those green vines, they were tough. Okay. Well, green withes or green vines that were never dried, verse 7, then shall I be weak as other men. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her seven green withes which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Seems like Samson would get a clue here. Verse number 9, now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber, and she said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson, and he brake the withes as a thread of tow is broken when it toucheth the fire. So his strength was not known. And Delilah said unto Samson, behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me now, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak and be as other men. Verse 12. Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liers in wait abiding in the chamber, and he brake them off of his arms like a thread. And Delilah said unto Samson, hitherto hast thou mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if thou weavest the seven locks of my head with a web. She fastened it with a pin and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he waked out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. And she said unto him, how canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come upon this once, for it showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. She made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man. She caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. Samson became unfaithful. He looked in the wrong direction for affection and found it in Delilah. He loved the wrong person, who was the godless Delilah. And it's interesting that her name means feeble. In order to love the spiritually feeble Delilah, it required that Samson become feeble spiritually himself. And he did. He looked the wrong direction for affection. He loved the wrong person, Delilah. He lost his sense of judgment, trusting the person of his emotions, not the God of his conviction. He lost all sense of judgment. Then he gave his heart and lost his freedom. When one breaks the cords of conviction, he'll become bound by the cords of sin. And that's what happened with Samson. He broke the cord of conviction and went to the wrong person and loved the wrong person and shared all his heart. And he thought he was being freed, but he became bound with the cords of sin. Then he became servant to his enemies. They blinded. Samson put out his eyes. They bound him. And then they burdened him to work while they mocked. What a price. Are you listening? What a price for for unfaithfulness Samson had to pay. He was counted faithful, but he became unfaithful. But we come to our text this morning that we read earlier. If you drop down to verse number 25, please, the third thing I want you to notice is that Samson returned to faithfulness. Verse number 25, and it came to pass when their hearts were merry that they said, call for Samson, that he may make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport. And they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me, or allow me, that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand, of the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Get the picture here, if you would, for a moment. Samson had been counted faithful, but he became unfaithful, paid a great price for it, was being mocked by the ungodly for his unfaithfulness as he was blinded, bound, and burdened to carry out their duties. They made fun of him. Listen, the world does not really want you. They may entice you to come their way, but when they do, it'll blind you and bind you, and you'll be burdened. And you'll be a mockery to them. Here's Samson. I don't know how long he was in the prison house. He judged Israel 20 years. And the best I can see this is toward the latter end of his time. They bring him out blinded and bound. And where they're having a big party, 3,000 people up on the roof. And here's Samson in the middle. And they're making fun of him. And they're praising their false god, Dagon. And Samson says, Lord, just one time. I've been unfaithful. I've paid the price. As he's blinded there, he hears their mocking jeers. And he says, Lord, I've paid the price. But oh God, I turned from that and I said, Lord, give me your power once again. Lord, just one time I'll die with them, but give me your power. And in that, Samson returned back to faithfulness, and God put his powerful hands, his omnipotent hands upon Samson, and Samson clutched the two pillars upon which the house stood, and he bowed himself and drew those pillars together, and they collapsed, and the house with 3,000 people on top collapsed upon Samson, and he died, but God used him to destroy more of the enemy in his death than in his lifetime. He'd return to faithfulness. Thank God he made a way for the unfaithful to return to faithfulness. In his return, God allowed him to do more than he had done in his entire lifetime. But he returned to faithfulness. Notice the one passage of Scripture there about Samson that it said that his hair began to grow. Amen. Listen, when you fail and you recognize it and you start turning back to the Lord, your hair begins to grow. Now, that's not a promise for people who've lost their hair. But spiritually speaking, the hair representing the power of God upon the life of Samson there. And when we've come short, when we failed in some way and we turn back to the Lord, the hair begins to grow. And we can be faithful again. Samson returned to faithfulness. I want to think of our second person for just a couple of minutes. John Mark. We don't know much about John Mark in the Bible. We know this. The first thing about John Mark is that he served with the Apostle Paul. How'd you like to have done that, huh? That'd be great. I've had opportunity to serve with some really, really fine people in the Lord's work, including the people of Bering County Baptist Church for the past 30 years. But can you imagine what it would have been like to have served with the Apostle Paul, the greatest evangelist missionary that the world has ever known? That'd have been awesome, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it? Hello? Are you with me today? That would have been awesome. John Mark got to do that. The Bible says, Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. And they served together. John Mark had served with Paul and with Barnabas. John Mark was Barnabas' nephew. The Bible says this in Acts chapter 15 and verse 37. And Barnabas determined, they got ready to go on another journey. Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark, but Paul thought it not good to take him with them, who, listen, departed from them, from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. The second thing about John Mark, he served with Paul, but secondly, he left the work. John Mark was faithful serving the Lord with Paul and Barnabas, but something happened to him while he was serving. I don't know what happened. The Bible doesn't say exactly what happened, but something triggered John Mark to quit serving the Lord while he was with Paul and Uncle Barnabas. And so Paul said, you know what, it's time for us to go back and check up on all the churches and the people that we've led to the Lord and the churches that they've started. Let's go check up on them. And Barnabas says, you know, we'll get my nephew and he'll go with us. Paul said, no. Yeah, he's my nephew. No. Because he left the work. John Mark had been faithful, but he quit being faithful. And Paul said he would not be good to go with us because he hasn't been counted what? Faithful. He'd left the work. And him leaving the work caused a split. You know, when people become unfaithful for the Lord, it causes problems with the faithful. Did you know that? When people quit serving the Lord, it causes much confusion and questions and sometimes conflict. Well, Paul, if you hadn't been so tough on him, maybe he wouldn't have left. Wait a minute. He came with us to work. And John Mark actually, he had been unfaithful, but his name and his demeanor and what had happened, it caused Paul and Barnabas to have such conflict that Paul said, I'm not going with you. And Barnabas says, I'm not going with you either. And they parted ways. And the next missionary team we know of is Paul and Silas. Remember? Well, what happened was John Mark had been faithful, but he became unfaithful, caused a split between God's people. But thank God, he returned to faithfulness. Let me read these verses for sake of time. I'll read them and not have you turn there. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, the Apostle Paul's writing to Timothy, and he says this, do thy diligence to come shortly to me. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Now listen to what he tells Timothy now. Bear in mind, Paul and Barnabas split over John Mark's unfaithfulness. Now Paul writes to Timothy, whom God is using to establish order in the churches. And Paul writes to Timothy and he says, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee. For he's profitable to me for the ministry. You see, in Mark's life, there came a time, for whatever reason, he became unfaithful and was not profitable to serve with Paul, But something changed to where Paul could say, by the way, get John Mark because he's profitable. Isn't that wonderful? Listen, we're not landlocked into unfaithfulness as Christians when we've fallen short of what God wants us to do. We can go on and get up and serve the Lord and be used again. Thank God for that. He returned to faithfulness and he served once again only with Timothy. Then I want to think about Peter quickly this morning. Peter. We all know the Apostle Peter. I love reading about him in the Scripture. You know, he was brash and bold and really... He often, and I don't mean this to demean his character or anything, but he would often do what my dad would say to me. He'd say, Jim, don't put your mouth in action before you put your brain in gear. And sometimes Peter was like that. He was quick to speak without sometimes thinking, you know, oh, Lord, it's been good for us to be here. Let's build 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. This is my beloved son. Hear ye him. Oh, whoops. Guess I shouldn't have said that, right? That's the way Peter was. First thing about Peter I want you to notice is that he had served with Jesus Christ. Mark 8, verse 27, the Bible says, Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he had asked his disciples, saying to them, whom do men say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and some other, and others, and one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Peter answered and said unto him, thou art the Christ. As the Lord Jesus is asking, you know, who do you guys really think I am now? Well, some people say this, some people say that, but who do you think I am? Peter blurts out, thou art the Christ. And then Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon, for flesh and blood hath not revealed unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Let me tell you something. Peter, though we often talk about his shortcomings, Peter was a spiritual man of God serving personally with the Lord Jesus Christ, on fire for the Lord, outspoken for the Lord. And God revealed things to Peter. Flesh and blood has not revealed it to you, but my Father which is in heaven has revealed to you that I'm the Christ. Peter was no slouch spiritually. But I want everybody to turn to Mark chapter 14, would you please? Mark chapter 14. Peter served with Jesus Christ, was counted faithful. But in Mark chapter 14, verse 65, we begin reading, and some began to spit on him and to cover his face, speaking of the Lord Jesus, and to buffet him and to say unto him, prophesy. And the servants did strike him with the palms of their hands. And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, and thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. He went out into the porch, and the cock crew. And a maid saw him again and began to say to them that stood by, this is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. You can't hide your accent, y'all. But he began, verse 71, but he began to curse and to swear. God's people have no business with that anyway, do they? Amen? But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom you speak. And he uttered vulgarities and profanities and said, I do not know him. What are you talking about? I'm not from Galilee. I never knew this Jesus. I wasn't with him. And he cursed and he swore and he said that he did not know that man of whom they spoke. The second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. Peter served with Christ, but then he denied his Lord. He became unfaithful. I think all of us would agree that if you deny that you know Jesus Christ, you've lost your faithfulness. Amen? There's Peter. He hears the cock crow. Luke, it says Jesus looked on him and Peter went out and wept bitterly. Counted faithful, but became unfaithful, denying his Lord. But you know, the next thing I want you to notice is he was called back to faithfulness. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, after the resurrection, the angel said to the ladies there, don't be afraid or frightened. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He's risen. He's not here. Behold the place where they laid him. Listen now. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There you shall see him as he said unto you. What a wonderful insertion in Scripture. Don't you think maybe that after Peter had denied the Lord and become faithful, he would have, like you and I, said, I've blown it. I didn't stand with Jesus. I said I would die with him, but I didn't. I denied him. He said I would. I said I wouldn't, but I did. He'd have no use for me now. But the angel said, you go tell his disciples and Peter. But the Lord said, I'll meet you in Galilee. Amen. Thank God that he calls us back to faithfulness when we have been unfaithful. Amen. He wants us to be found faithful. And Peter returned to faithfulness. You know kind of the rest of the story with Peter. At the day of Pentecost, the Bible says, Peter, standing up with 11, lifted up his voice and said, you men of Judea and all that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. And he preached Christ after Pentecost. He returned to faithfulness. God used Peter mightily. And let me know, we can't understand that. Listen, if you cursed and swore that you didn't know me, do you think I'm going to entrust some valuable things to you? But Peter cursed and swore that he didn't know Jesus, and then God turned around, and when Peter turned his heart back to the Lord, God used Peter to preach the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 people came to trust Christ as their Savior. Amen? He returned to faithfulness. He returned to faithfulness. You don't know. You know. The devil wants you to say you'll never be used again if you've come short, but God's word teaches differently. You can return to faithfulness. Let's think of the return of Samson for just a moment. We read earlier in Hebrews chapter 11, but I want you to notice the one phrase about Samson. It says, out of weakness were made strong. Samson, faithful, powerful, divinely empowered Samson, out of weakness, slipped into faithlessness or unfaithfulness, but then was made strong again. Amen? Out of weakness we're made strong. The Bible says, moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. God requires you to be found that way. And so God provides a way for you to be found that way. The failure of the faithful does not have to be final. Aren't you glad the story of Samson didn't end with they blinded him, bound him, and burdened him? That's all she wrote. But his hair began to grow. And he called on God and said, use me one more time, God. He returned to faithfulness. Aren't you glad that the story doesn't end with John Mark? All we know about Demas is he's forsaken me, having loved the present world. I'm glad John Mark's story didn't end that way. John Mark said he's not profitable, or Paul said about John Mark, he's not profitable, we can't bring him. But then later on, he said he is profitable. Listen, have you drifted in your faithfulness? It doesn't have to be final. Proverbs 24:16 says, for a just man falleth seven times and rises up again. I ask a question. Have you in some way drifted from your faithfulness to God? Return to it. Hello? Return to it. Samson, John Mark, Peter, God has provided a way for you and me to come back to faithfulness and be used again. Let's think about that just for 1 second, and I'll close. The return to faithfulness. It's a simple process. Here it is. Acknowledge the error. Amen? Acknowledge the error. Or confess the sin. Lord, I shouldn't have gotten messed up with Delilah. I just swallowed that hook, line, and sinker. And I got blinded, bound, and burdened, but God, use me again. And God did. God, I shouldn't have quit on Paul. I don't want to be unfaithful again. Okay, you can be profitable now to Timothy. Lord, I denied you. I said I didn't even know you. Peter, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. I've prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And Peter stands up full of faith and the power of the Holy Spirit and preaches Christ crucified, risen, and coming again. And people come to know Christ. Confess it. Accept forgiveness. Forgiveness is offered through the blood of Jesus Christ. Are you listening? And then return to faithfulness. Restoration of faithfulness in service once again is where God wants you. He wants you. If I could go around and call you all by name, He wants you to be found faithful. You say, preacher, I'm not being faithful, but He wants you to be found faithful. And so He says, tell the disciples and Peter and put your name in there. And Peter and Brandon and Stan and Mike and he wants you to be found faithful. So why not this morning say, you know what? We've been preaching about faithfulness and I've been feeling a little guilty. So did Samson. So did John Mark. So did Peter. How about returning back to faithfulness? To witness. To read the word. To pray. To serve. To give. To be a testimony for Christ. Return to faithfulness. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your word this morning. I pray that you'd bless it in our lives. These aren't the only examples in Scripture we could see of people who were faithful and drifted from it, but returned to be used again by you. But they're great examples for us today that we can learn from. Father, I pray if there's anybody here this morning that's drifted in faithfulness, may they be challenged spiritually to return, to come home to faithfulness once again. And Father, if there's anybody here that's never been saved, never personally put their trust in Jesus Christ to save them once and for all from hell, give them your righteousness to promise heaven to them. If there's someone that's never personally put their trust in Christ, may that person do that today. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. And I wonder how many would say, Pastor, by the grace of God, by the grace of God in my life, I want to return back to faithfulness as a Christian like I know I should have. pray for me? Would you slip up your hand? I'm not going to call you by name. Just say, Lord, God bless you. Amen. Who else? Pray for me. I've slipped in some area of my life in being faithful, and I want to get back to where I ought to be. Who else? Who would say, Pastor, this morning, I'm not sure that I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know 100% sure based on the Bible. I don't know 100% sure I'd go to heaven. But I'd like to make sure of that. Who would slip up their hand this morning? No one else is going to come to you and say, Preacher, pray for me. I want to make sure that I'm headed to heaven. Anybody? Heavenly Father, bless this invitation, I pray, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we stand together, please? Brother Jeff's going to come, lead us in a song. Maybe there's something in your life that you just got to come to talk to the Lord about. Nobody's going to ask you what you're praying about. But maybe there's something you ought to come and just pray and say, Lord, I've been unfaithful to you in this area, and I confess it to you. Cleanse me, and Lord, restore me to faithfulness. Use me, I pray, and God will. God will. Maybe there's a step you ought to take for the Lord. Last week we mentioned baptism, and two folks have talked to me about following the Lord in baptism. We'll follow through with that. But maybe there's others this morning say, I've been saved, I've not been baptized. Or as a Christian, I've just not been living for Christ like I should. Maybe in the workplace, maybe in the home front. But I want to return to faithfulness. You ought to come and pray this morning. Let go and let God. Brother Jeff, would you come, please?
Number 325, Softly and Tenderly.
Bye.
Aren't you glad that there's such a thing as return to faithfulness? Amen. Aren't you glad? What a wonderful God. God of the second chance and third and fourth and fifth. Return. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your love and grace. And Lord, if you marked iniquities, who could stand? But there's forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared, we're told in the Psalms. Thank you for that. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be determined and committed to be faithful, but to understand that when we have come short, and we do, we can return to that faithfulness. Bless these dear folks today, we pray. And Lord, bring us back here tonight for our service, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.